From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton.
Well, studies estimate that the proportion of Americans who identify as transgender as about 0.5 to 0.6%. This would put the total number of transgender Americans at approximately 1.4 million adults. And that's just the number of people who have come out. Well, what if you lived most of your life in what felt like the wrong gender, the wrong body? Then at age 63, after spending a lifetime wondering what maybe was wrong with you, and then finally coming to terms with it and being comfortable with the fact that while you may have been born a male, you're really female. The rest of the story will be provided by our guest who's joining us in the studio, Park City resident Cami Richardson, who has written the book, Do You Know Who I Once Was? It's a story, Cami's story, of an unlikely journey to become one's true self. Cami, great to have you back on The Mountain Life.
Good morning, Lynn and Pete. Thanks so much for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And you actually tell the story in your book of our encounter, yours and mine and Tim Henney, my former co-host on this show, back in, was it 2016?
Yes, in July of 2016, I ventured up to the deck of the Boneyard and you were sitting there with Tim, and I was supposed to still not be out to the public yet, but you greeted me as Cami, and it started a conversation, and we wound up doing our first interview in August of 2016, and it was kind of very significant. And I have often said, and you'll read in the book, that I credit you, Lynn, for making that happen, because you got me on the radio, which led me to ultimately coming out at the Temple Har Shalom, where I was executive director. Once that interview aired, I had some phone calls from the president of the temple asking me if I wanted to come out. And I also was interviewed by the Park Record by Nan Schottler-Noker for a feature story about me. And we kind of timed everything together, and I wound up coming out at the end of August, full-time, 24/7, which I've been living ever since.
And you are so happy now. You love your life. And if you compare sitting in front of the microphone with us almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and then now, what are some of the differences in how you feel in terms of your level of comfort, whether it's in the community or just with yourself or with your wife, Terry?
Good question. I'm very comfortable. And I've, over the last 3 years, have become even more so. I've become an advocate for the LGBTQ community. I'm serving on a couple different boards and looking forward to a future that might even include a pride parade and festival here in Park City within a year or two. So I've come a long way. I feel very fortunate that I came out in the Park City community, as it's a very accepting and liberal community that embraces all peoples, and I am one that feels very blessed to be here. I often get stopped in the stores and around town, and people are excited to meet me, which makes me really excited, because my personal mission is to enlighten and educate people about the trans community, and I'm able to do that by just being out in the public domain.
And you certainly are, Cami. I have so many friends, and myself, I've enjoyed getting to know you, and you are a public figure. And was there any intention for that for you? I mean, a lot of people want to be very private. And how are you handling that public persona and all of the pressures and challenges?
Well, I can't say I honestly thought that would be a result. But I am a pretty outgoing A-type personality. And so is it surprising? No. I think I found a place to be in my life right now at 66 years old that I can make a difference. And, I think by writing my memoir, which includes some stories about my careers as a firefighter and as the CFO of American Ski Company and buying the canyons to transitioning here in Park City, where I am very fortunate that I am doing it here and not somewhere else. I'd like to say it comes with the territory, but I didn't know what the territory was, but I'm glad I'm able to do that. I have some great encounters. I work as a greeter at the ticket booth at the Canyons Village, part of Park City, and I see hundreds of people every day. And to some, it may be surprising, but to others, it's very welcoming, and I feel very accepting and loved.
Great. And I know, everybody in Park City has so much enthusiasm for you and support. What have you learned about the Park City community as its unique mountain town that really resonates for you?
Well, I've been part of the community for quite a while, and I think this level of acceptance is what makes it really special. And, I used to have a name of Tom, and now I very rarely get called that anymore. It's always Cammy, and people are very open to talking to me and learning more about being transgender. I mean, I tell a story in the book about how I was at a Deer Valley concert one summer, and I was sitting there by myself listening to music, mm-hmm. and this woman sat down in front of me, and she point blank looked at me and said, "Hi, my name is Phyllis. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. I'm a Christian, and I've been told I should hate people like you. Tell me why I shouldn't." And after a gasp of like, oh my, this is interesting, I spent 20 minutes with her, and I hopefully believe I answered her question. And I know I did when she said, "Where are you going to be tomorrow night? Can we meet again?" And she found us at the New Park concert. So she, it's possible to make or to see people change. And I think that's what I'm able to do in Park City, is to be us out there. There's certainly not many of us in Park City that are transgender. I like to sometimes kid people on the lift that, while skiing, saying, "Well, you're skiing with probably the only transgender person right now on the hill." I do my best to always represent the trans community in a favorable way.
Well, what I have enjoyed for as long as I've known you as Cammy, and I did know you as Tom before, which may lead to a little bit of my confusion and my occasional misgendering of you, which is a new word for me. It's when you mistake the gender. I have so appreciated knowing that any question that I ask is not a dumb one. It may be a dumb one, and it may be even slightly offensive to you, but you always answer it with empathy and with understanding that you're just helping me along. And I'm someone who, it's interesting. I feel very open and accepting and inclusive, and yet there are so many things that I don't know. And I think many people are like that, and they stop because they think they shouldn't, if they are inclusive and accepting, they shouldn't have these questions. And do you find people apologizing for the questions they ask?
Occasionally. Do you mind asking, answering this question is often a phrase I hear, and no, I don't mind. And I want to answer as many questions as I can. Some, of course, are questions that I prefer not to answer, but then there are most of those that are easily answerable. And, I get asked about my sexuality. I get asked about my marriage, and I should certainly mention my amazing wife of 27 years almost, Terry Cook, who is just an incredible woman who was so accepting and loving and when I came out a few years ago, and she had known for a number of years, but she continues to love me. And that is very significant, and I'm very fortunate. So,
and you dedicate the book to her, and your book is Do You Know Who I Once Was? And if you're just joining us, our guest is Cami Richardson, who is a Parkite, and she's written this new memoir, The Unlikely Journey to Be One's True Self. Can you describe to us the torture of being in the wrong body is the way that I say it, but maybe you say it a different way.
I think torture is probably a strong word. Okay. I was confused. I didn't really understand why I had these desires. And, you know, for years and years, I fought it off, very much like Caitlyn Jenner. In fact, she was instrumental in me coming out, because when she did in 2015, I started seeing a therapist to kind of, you know, answer some questions that I had about myself. And so it, for me, it's been part of a journey that, you know, I don't regret my old life at all. I had an amazing career as a firefighter and in the ski industry, and then as an entrepreneur here in Park City. And I got to experience a career that most people would be very envious of. But, you know, the whole time I was fighting these urges, and, you know, in the 2000s, it really became significant. And, you know, I hid my dressing and so forth for many, many years. I used to go down to Salt Lake City, and I wouldn't be up in the Park City area, and I would basically be in hiding. So it was a relief when I finally was able to find out what I needed to find out about myself and then do something about it.
And you bring, in the midst of that inner turmoil and struggle and confusion, you bring humor in your story. You kind of pop it with like little fun, I don't know, firecrackers,
yeah,
in a sense.
Well, I've had some crazy stories occur in my life that are honestly just funny. But, you know, when I wrote the book, I didn't have a vision as to how it would turn out. And when I finished it and published it, I realized that I want people to laugh. I want them to cry. I want them to enjoy the book, but mostly I want them to be inspired. I want them to look at their lives and be able to say, well, if Cami can do this, then I can certainly move through any challenges I might have in my life. So, you know, laughter is a great thing. I tell a very interesting story of when I was a firefighter in New York, and I almost burned down the fire station. It's a rather lengthy story, but I think people do find it rather interesting and funny, and that's the type of memoir that I was looking to write.
And when you look back at some of those stories, do you identify as who you were then or who you are now? How do you impose your recall on those memories?
Well, most certainly as Tom. But, you know, just thinking about that firehouse story, can you imagine if I was Cami and I had done that? I probably would have been fired instead of being somewhat disciplined. And, you know, I look at them all as Tom. Tom was an individual who didn't have a lot of fears. You know, I write about the time that I, you know, heard a crash in the woods, and next thing I know, it was a plane that had crashed right near my house, and I ran into the woods without any knowledge of what I was headed into, and found a person and in the plane, and I was able to help that person and be rescued. And so I had a lot of moments of interesting stories about, you know, to some degree about what I did as a firefighter.
Mm. Cami, you still have a deep voice.
I do.
That sounds like a man's voice. Do you get called a transvestite, a drag queen? Do you do anything to try to alter that voice, or do you care?
No, I keep my voice pretty much the same. Oh, Lynn. Thanks for pointing it out. I mean, I don't try to hide it, okay? I am who I am. It's certainly a dead giveaway, you know? I have had encounters with people at the ticket booth at the Canyons that, you know, they look at me and they think I'm a female. And, you know, there was one last year during Mardi Gras Day on a Tuesday, and we had kind of decorated the ticket booth and we were wearing beads and everything. And I go up to these two guys and I start chatting with them and help them out. And then they got to the ticket window and they, you know, were being served. And then I happened to walk by them a couple minutes later, and the one guy taps me on the shoulder and he goes, "By the way, that's a really good costume you got on. You look like a woman." It was kind of a backhanded compliment. Yeah. And then when I told him I was transgender, we both laughed. And, you know, it is what it is. And I'm comfortable in my own skin. And I know that, you know, if people want to view me differently because of my voice, then so be it.
Mm. You tell a couple of great stories, or you've told to me. One is about a person that you had done business with, well, a pharmacist in the area,
right.
We'll say.
Yeah.
And you dropped off a book for her.
Right. Yes.
And tell us that story, because I thought that stuck with me.
So I've known this pharmacist for many years, and she's just taken care of me and my wife for many. And I sensed over the recent years that she really took a liking to me. She would, you know, talk to me often while I was waiting. And so I was going into the store and I had a book with me, and I decided I was going to give her the book. She lives out in Camas, and, you know, it's good to help people out in Camas understand more about the trans community. And being someone that people know, I figured she could do that. So as I was being helped, she came up to me and she said, "You know, Cammy, when you were Tom, you were kind of a douchebag, but now that you're Cammy, I just love you. You've changed." And I would agree, I've changed. I mean, I think I've softened. I'll apologize now to any of you that I've had business affairs with that thought I was not a good person. But, you know, to some degree, when you're out there trying to make a living and, you know, you're running different businesses, sometimes you do make mistakes. But I believe I've softened significantly, and I think I'm more fun to be around. I certainly am more caring and introspective about who I am and what role I can serve in the community.
That's actually a really amazing topic right there in itself. You know, how has the physical really embodied the emotional and, you know, spiritual changes that maybe you even just wanted to make in your own life? You know, I think a lot of us come into moments where we see ourselves and we're not proud of ourselves. We reflect on failures in our lives, mm-hmm. and we want to make changes. We don't know how to, and sometimes it takes really seismic shifts. Was that a part of it? How is that?
Oh, absolutely. A part of it? I mean, my physical appearance is certainly different than it was. I mean, but the emotional and mental changes that I've gone through are what's very significant, I think, anyway. And I like the role I'm playing now as being someone who is an advocate for the community, and my sensitivity to, you know, certainly the LGBT community, what's going on with the Trump administration and things like that are all things that I take to heart. And, you know, I certainly can feel people's pain. You know, right now the trans community, the black trans community, is under attack. I mean, there's been like 20 something deaths already. It's just insane what is happening. And, you know, you have to have sympathy and feel for these people who are struggling. And again, that's why I'm very fortunate to have, you know, to come out in the Park City community, where even though people might have a negative outlook on being trans or, you know, that kind of thing, I respect that. And I've learned that I can't make everybody happy, but those that I can make happy are what's important.
And for myself, my own transformation and just growing as a person, I would not have titled my book the same, you know, because I almost don't want people to know who I once was, how those mistakes I've made. And yet you really, that's the emphasis. Do you know who I once was?
Well, I think it's a interesting question, Pete, because he's giving himself the Rocky thing here. You know, it isn't just about, the book is not just about me being trans and transitioning. It's about my career. It's about the fact that I went from being a paid firefighter in New York to the chief financial officer of a public ski company to a business entrepreneur. I mean, you know, just in Park City alone, many of you might remember Beadnik's or Park City Butcher Shop over here in Prospector, or Summit County Beef that I was executive director and then owner of. So I've had a Park City local card is another one. I couldn't hold a job, so I just kept trying different things. You know, in the community, you know, I've tried a lot of different things, and I've had good luck and I've had bad luck, you know. But along the way, it's been quite the ride.
So I guess what I'm hearing in that is that you were experiencing your true self, even though you hadn't become actualized as a female, as your other true self. And that's an important story for you to tell.
Yeah. I mean, I think it all rolls together because in the book itself, I talk in some chapters about, you know, what it was like to be hiding, you know, as
because you started at a young age wearing your mother's lingerie, not sure why you liked to do it, and you were hiding. As an 8-10-year-old?
Yes, I did. It's a little embarrassing, but it is what happened. And many people who relate to me have the same kind of stories where they didn't understand what was going on. They were hiding. They were wearing, you know, female clothing and things like that. And I was one of them. And being a Catholic, Italian, Irish Catholic, growing up in New York and being somewhat of a sports fanatic, this was not something that I could go and talk to anyone about because I honestly didn't even know what it was that was going on. I mean, you couldn't go to the internet and look up the word transgender. And if you did, it came up with the word transvestite, mm-hmm. which has a somewhat of a negative connotation now. You know, so I just kept feeling I need to hide this. And that's what I did for years and years and years. And, you know, if I knew what I know today, I think I would have changed many years ago. But I'm living the rest of my life proudly as a trans woman.
What offends you when people say or do whatever it is around you?
Oh, I think it's always interesting. I told you a story recently about I work at the Canyons Golf Course as a player service rep, which is an overglorified cart girl. but I was picking up this couple who pulled into the parking lot in a red Maserati convertible from California, and you know, you immediately could see, oh, these people have money. And so I helped them with their clubs and got them in the golf cart, driving them up to the golf shop to check in. And we were chatting, and I forget what I asked, but whatever it was, the male answered with yes sir. And you know, I get misgendered all the time. It's not a big deal, but for some reason I thought about that, and I said, wow. Well, and I moved on, but a couple minutes later, they showed up to pick up their golf cart, and he came right up to me, read my name tag, and said, Cammie, I am really sorry. He says, I'm from Palm Springs. It's a big LGBTQ community, and I should know better. I made a mistake, and I'm truly sorry. And I was taken back, but I was pleased that he, you know, realize this mistake. I'm not sure if his wife didn't help him realize that, but nonetheless, We finished, or he finished their round of golf, and I was driving him back out to the cart, and he hands me a $20 bill as a tip. And it was pretty obvious that he felt the need to somehow reimburse me financially. And so I was telling him, well, we pool our tips, so, you know, it's not coming to me. And he goes, I don't care. Just please take it. He pleaded with me to take it. So, you know, there are lessons there that you learn about people and your reaction to them and how it can be a good encounter or a bad encounter. You know, I had a guy at the ticket booth last year when questioned about, he asked me if I was transgender. He says, well, you can't be, you have Y chromosomes. And I go, well, you can believe what you want and I'm going to believe what I want. And let's just leave it at that. So, you know, there are people that are a little bit more pointed about comments. And then there are others that ask a question and you hopefully answer them and you move on and people learn, you know. I hope that if I ever run into any of the listening audience that you'll always just come up to me and not be afraid to say hi or ask a question or whatever it might be.
And so if you had a magic wand in Park City, and there was one, maybe it was a restroom sign or I'm picking something small there, right? if there was one change you could make, what would be that change in our community that you could wave that magic wand?
So that's a good question as well. We're making strides in the Wasatch Back, and I'll make that inclusive of Summit and Wasatch counties, to kind of identify the more of the LGBT community. South Summit High School just recently started a GSA program. Park City's had theirs for years and was voted one of the best. Wasatch High School has a GSA. So there are lots of opportunities in the Wasatch Back to grow the community and be more cohesive. And my goal, if I have a magic wand, is to be marching down Main Street. And maybe it's this year, it'll be in the 4th of July parade, but in the community, marching down Main Street is in a pride parade and then festival where everybody can celebrate the LGBT community as it's done in Salt Lake, which is just an amazing event in early June.
And then I love that. I think that's a great tangible goal that, you know, I think we could easily make as a community happen this 4th of July. And what was your response when the Heber Wasatch community had those pride flags? That was a very unique action by the mayor there and in a very, you know, traditional community.
Yeah. It was brave of her. And I think, you know, it kind of put out there in the public domain that there are some biases and that we should try to overcome them. And I think she's a great example. And it's kind of interesting and funny. I met with this individual from Equality Utah who's handling the Wasatch Back, and we were discussing different things. And we were talking about people in common in the community that could be of help. And I brought up the mayor of Heber, and he looked at me and I said, well, in fact, I'm pretty sure that she has a transgender son or daughter. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, and she has a gay son as well, because I'm him. That's my mom. you know, there's so many people in our community that that are willing to try and make a difference, and I won't identify them, but I can tell you that there's a nucleus of people that are starting to come together and that will make a difference in the Wasatch Back, and I look forward to being a part of that.
Cammie, we have time for just one more question, and it's something you brought up a bit ago, and it has to do with this notion of or separation of gender and sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a very hard concept to grasp. People would ask how you are still married to a woman. Does that mean you're gay? Does it mean, you know, and we get all these questions going, and you just say it's two different things. So can you explain?
Yeah. Gender encompasses, you know, the transgender community, male or female species. And, you know, it's the gender that people choose because, you know, in my case, you know, I come out as transgender. So, but it doesn't necessarily equate to sexuality, which can refer to people who are gay or bisexual or, you know, kind of the person that they choose to sleep with. And, you know, there are many, many transgender people that are still heterosexual, and that there are some that are bisexual or consider themselves, you know, if they're trans women, lesbians. Still attracted to female, but there are also many that are attracted to men. So the two are completely different, although, you know, there are some similarities in some cases with many people. You know, I choose to be heterosexual, and, you know, I don't see that changing in the near future.
Right. It's a lot of gray area. There's a huge spectrum for all of us. Many would say we're all on the spectrum of sexuality and gender. I remember yesterday I told you the story about I once dressed as Scott, Liberace's lover, and my friend Betsy was Liberace for Halloween. And I felt so liberated. It was the first time I'd ever dressed as a dude. I had so much fun. And I thought, you know, we probably are. We're all on a spectrum.
Well, it's so true. Yes, absolutely.
I'll end with that little story. Cammy Richardson. The book is Do You Know Who I Once Was? It's a story of an unlikely journey to be one's true self. So great to have you back.
Thanks Lynn. Thanks, Pete. Thank you, Cammy. The book is available at Dolly's Bookstore right here on Main Street or on Amazon.com. So if you get a chance, I'd love to have people read it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcast, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.